Calvary. Now that Jesus Christ has set us free, yeah. Without doubt or hesitation, take the news to every nation. No way, I'm not ashamed. Gonna tell the world about Jesus. I gotta testify. Gonna tell the world about Him. No way, I'm not ashamed. Gonna tell the world about Jesus. I gotta testify. Gonna tell the world about Him. This is a time for holy boldness. This is a time for victory. Yeah. Keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. Going where the Spirit leads us. No way, I'm not ashamed. Gonna tell the world about Jesus. I've got to testify.
Isn't that what we need today? Every believer needs to walk in holy boldness. So this is a time and a season that the people of God need to stand up and say, yes, I am a child of Jesus, and I am unashamed of the gospel. Well, welcome you to Deliverance today. This is Pastor John Kyle. I'm glad to have you. Glad to see that some people are showing up in the chat room. Good to see you all this evening. And those that never get in the chat room, glad to have you all too as well. So we just welcome you in Jesus' name. We've got a good program for you tonight, a good word from the Lord that's going to help people, going to give revelation knowledge to you, give understanding to you in ways that you need. But first, we've got to do a little bit of news here. So much is going on this week, seems like. More than last week, just so many different things happening, and we'll share a little bit about it. Some of you may have seen that toddler, Scarlett Rose Davis, 3 years old, and begged her grandparents to take part in that ice bucket dumping, which is an occult ritual, of course, which several people have told me that, and I looked at it some, too, and indeed it is used in the occult. But anyway, she begged her grandparents, and they finally let her. And so now thousands of people have watched her on the Internet. This little girl has become an Internet sensation as she blurts out F and H after the ice was on her. You know, now that's a little three-year-old girl. Now something's wrong there. I think demons took over, and of course she's been exposed to that kind of filth and profanity in her home to be able to say something like that. I hate to even tell something like that, but... That's something people want to watch, and that's sad. Oh man, this is another one that's a very, very disgusting and sad. An Ohio adult man admits to having sex with over 100 dead women in the morgue as he worked a night shift in the morgue. Now that is necrophilia, and that is disgusting. Having sex with dead people. This man, of course, is in trouble for that. Over a period of years, he thought there was nothing wrong with it. You know, having sex with all these dead people. He said, "Oh well, some of them were, you know, killed in a crime, so that justifies it. What kind of crime are you doing, man? What kind of sicko are you having sex with these dead people? What kind of demons are you picking up when people die? The demons in them are certainly looking for somewhere to go." I'm sure this man is loaded after doing such abomination. All right. And, oh, my, it must be a time of suicide. Last Wednesday, the Baptist pastor, a North Carolina Baptist pastor, he shot his wife, and then he killed himself. And sad, they were discovered by their 16-year-old granddaughter who lived with them. Well, how many know that people who have suicide devils, sometimes those suicide devils eventually get their way? And, of course, this man and his wife boasted about how they loved life and thought life was wonderful, yet if you carry in some demons of suicide or you get attacked that way and you give place to them, then you might end up, you know, killing yourself no matter what you think about life. And another pastor, minister, also killed himself, in an Atlanta area pastor who led a network of churches and also pastored his own church. He was found dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Bishop David Huskins had said that he had some heart trouble and was taking some time off, but heart trouble doesn't put a bullet through your head. Now, that was something he did with his own hand. So is what it looks like. So and I don't know if he got discouraged about it or a demon of suicide just took over and took him out. We don't know the whole story, and we may not know till Jesus comes, but it is sad to see these suicides taking place among people who believe they're Christians, and then they kill themselves. That is tragic. And Charlotte, another North Carolina news, by the way, Charlotte, North Carolina's largest church, put their senior pastor on leave after the Back to Bible broadcast fired him for unknown inappropriate behavior. Dr. John Monroe of Calvary Church, a non-spirit-filled church in Charlotte, the largest church in town, evidently has been relieved of duty for a while due to some inappropriate behavior in the church as well as on the program Back to the Bible broadcast. Some of you probably heard that out of Lincoln, Nebraska, which, of course, I don't care for the program myself, but a lot of people think it's a great show. They don't move in the kind of life that I live, the deliverance and the warfare and spiritual warfare, things like that. They're non-spirit-filled. And anyway, but I don't care for the broadcast. I've listened to it a number of times over the years. They've had different people on there, and this was evidently their newest person on there that's been there several years now, I think. Anyway, let's jump over to Houston, Texas. Yes, I'm very familiar with Houston, Texas. I've preached my first sermon there in Houston, Texas. So, yeah, Houston, Texas now has a lesbian mayor named Anise Parker who put out an equal rights ordinance, which, of course, is to promote the homosexual lifestyle and to make sure that they have all the rights of anybody and will not be persecuted in Houston, Texas. Well, some pastors got together, a major group of pastors actually, and submitted 55,000 signatures to try to repeal it. But the city leaders are resisting, and they appealed to the Texas Supreme Court, and it's a war going on there for, you know, these wars are going on all over the country. We in our city, Billings, Montana, just defeated the war for the non-discrimination ordinance here. We're the first city in Montana that defeated that, which, of course, that's about giving homosexuals rights and showed all the liberal churches in town behind it and all the people that go to those churches. They have the glaze over their eyes, in my opinion, and are deceived, and they think that this was the thing. But thank God for other Christians who stood up, and it was defeated narrowly, 6-5. Thank God we defeated it, and since then another city in Montana also defeated it. Before all the cities have approved it, and that's four other cities, big cities in Montana, the biggest ones besides us. We are the biggest, actually, in Montana. All right, let's look at another one. The U.S. government sues a city that refuses to welcome a Muslim worship center. Well, what is the U.S. government suing a city for that refuses to welcome a Muslim worship center? Do we need Muslim worship centers? I don't think so, and thank God for a city that refuses to welcome that. We don't need that. We don't need a Muslim worship center in our city. You know, praise God that we're supposed to be a Christian. Anyway, I'll talk about another church in Alabama. Let's go to Alabama. A mega church in Alabama, 6,400 member church, opened up a $26 million six-dome entertainment center. It has a 12-lane bowling alley. It has a basketball court, a fitness center, a banquet hall, and a cafe. But get this, what else does it have? And, of course, I've heard of these before, but I don't think it's right. It has a teen dance club where the teens of the church can all go and rock out and dance. And then an adult alcohol and smoke-free nightclub where the adults can go hang out in a nightclub and probably dance as well. Is that what churches need to be doing? They're obviously in a lower income area, it says in the article that I read. And so is that the best way to serve the community and set the Christian example about a church? And, of course, I've heard of Christian dance clubs and nightclubs for years now. It started, first one I heard of was in Dallas, Texas, I think, years ago. And so is that something that brings people to the Lord with a compromising dance club? Oh, yeah, but we don't drink in there. Yeah, but what do you do? Do things with the physical body that attracts the opposite sex? Well, yes, you do. And is it always morally correct? No, it isn't. We could go on with that. I won't say any more about that because it's not necessary. But here's another thing that's kind of interesting because today Putin says that nuclear war, could take place if Russia is threatened. Of course, they're putting out the nuclear threat. Didn't say it out now, but they did say it. And said, if you pick on Mother Russia, then we're going to protect ourselves. We're going to, we do have a bunch of nuclear weapons. I need just to remind you, basically, is what Putin was doing, reminding people. And so there's some of the news today. One last item, which we'll jump over across the big lake there into London, into England. The report that finds that 1,400 U.K. children were abused in a U.K. town. About 1,400 children were sexually exploited in a northern England town. A municipal report concluded Tuesday in a damning account of collective failures by authorities to prevent victims as young as 11 from being beaten, raped, and trafficked over a 16-year period. And so that's what they've been doing over there in Rotherham, a town of 250,000, okay, because described rapes and multiple perpetrators, mainly from Britain's Pakistani community, and how children were trafficked to other towns and cities in north of England, abducted, beaten, and intimidated. So even there were examples of children who'd been doused in petrol or gasoline and threatened with being set afire, threatened with guns, made to witness brutality and brutally violent rapes, and threatened that they would be next if they ever told anybody. So that's tragic, that's sad, and this stuff goes on, and people just don't realize how wicked and dark the world is in this world. And, yeah, I did hear of Joan Rivers. Funny how that she had just said those things out publicly about President Obama, and now she's in the hospital of heart failure. Okay, whatever. All right. Well, just welcome everybody. If you want to listen by phone today, phone number 657-383-0134, which will also be the call-in number later in the program today. But again, I want to welcome you on this what they call Labor Day weekend. So glad to have you, and welcome. Our website is theoasisplace.org. And of course, if you'd like to email me, the email address is theoasis1@localnet.com. Oasis, theoasis1, the number one, at localnet.com. And if you'd like to write or support the ministry by mailing in your tithe or offering, it's the Oasis Church or Pastor John Kyle at P.O. Box 50162. That's P.O. Box 50162, Billings, Montana, 59105. That's 59105 is the zip code. And also, if you should like to attend the church is at 2102 Old Hardin Road. And we meet Sundays at 10:30 a.m. All right, are y'all ready today? Hallelujah. I'm ready, if you're ready. And I'm ready whether you're ready or not. But I am ready to share the Word of God with you and believe that it will definitely speak to some people today. And some people are ready to hear, I hope. So let's go ahead and open up in prayer, and then we will get into the Word of God. Amen. All right, Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, the mighty King of kings and Lord of lords. We come to you, Jesus, and Father God, and ask you to bless today's broadcast. Bless the message that we're sharing today, and ask that you would speak to people through it and deliver people through it and prepare them to be everything you want them to be, Father. And I thank you for it, and I bind the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ, and I cover the program with the blood of Jesus, cover the message with the blood of Jesus. Everybody listening, cover them as well, every listener, with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for speaking to our hearts today, and we give you the glory for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the title today is Flesh, Lust and Desire. Flesh, lust and desire. Well, you could say, you know, by spirit or by flesh. So there's a serious problem today in the lives of believers, and if in the lives of believers, in the church itself as well, because believers make up the church, right? Okay, so I'm reminded of a church I know of that started working and, I mean, walking in the spirit and led in the spirit, but they ended up walking in the flesh or in their own way. Why? Because they wanted to do what they wanted to do. And, you know, that's how churches and believers become, you know, dead churches and dead believers today, social clubs. And that's what they did. They started out moving in the spirit, and they were moving, but they quit it. And today God's calling a people who will hear his voice and his voice alone. God wants us to hear his voice. And today we hear many voices through believers today when we should only be hearing the voice of Jesus, but we hear all these other voices. And God doesn't want us to listen to all these other voices. And many times when believers say, well, the Lord told me or I feel led to do such and such, it's no more than being led by the flesh and what they want. And we will get into that and explain that some here. But brothers and sisters, if we are going to make an impact on our world, it is imperative that whatever we do, that we be led by the Holy Spirit. We need to quit doing things only because they feel good or they minister to our flesh or our fleshly appetites or they make us get promoted. We need to quit doing things for those other reasons or out of pride or religion. You know, because they make us feel good. You know, we need to become more spiritually minded than we are fleshly minded, saints of God. Now, I want to start out reading with a book out of the book of Romans today, Romans 13, verse 14, where we'll read our first scripture today. And it says here, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And the problem in it is, with so many in this country and others, is America is so fleshly minded and fleshly ruled. Everything is geared to our flesh and to minister to our flesh. In fact, all the provision of this world system is a flesh provision for the most part. I mean, just read the cereal boxes. You ever read the cereal boxes? Yeah. about cars and clothing and homes and TV and radio and advertising. You'll look good if you just have this or you have that or you do this or you do that. You'll be satisfied if you just give this to your flesh. This is nothing but demonic programming, okay? Nothing but demonic programming. And I must also tell you that flesh equals lust. In most, I mean, so much of the cases, flesh really equals lust. That's right. The flesh is full of lust. It lusts for satisfaction. And yet this true satisfaction can only come spiritually. It cannot come fleshly. So our flesh desires a word to please it. Oh, give me a word to please my flesh. It desires to hear what it wants to hear rather than what it should hear. What should we hear? Well, we should hear, crucify the flesh. Crucify it. But let me ask you, what being with life in it wants to die? Well, no one wants to die that's in their right mind, right? And that the flesh doesn't want to die either, because it's a living entity, part of us, right? The flesh is alive in us, and even though it's living in death, basically, it is alive. And so the flesh doesn't want to die, neither does lust. Lust doesn't want to die. And the flesh and lust want to dominate your life. The flesh and lust have many demons attached, and of course, lust is a demon, and all have desires. In fact, what is lust? Well, lust is, we could define it as a strong desire, right? And a plaguing desire, really, because it plagues a lot of people today, and they wish they didn't have it, but they're yet controlled by it. It is certainly not just sexual. I hope you know that. I hope you realize that lust doesn't have to just be sexual. Quit thinking everything lust is sexual, even though a lot of it is, but quit thinking it all is, because it's certainly not. You say, well, I don't have any lust. I'm not lusting after men, or I'm not lusting after women. But yeah, but you're lusting after that new clothes down at Penny's or wherever you like to shop, down at the mall or whatever. You're lusting after that food that you can't wait to stuff your face with. And listen, if lust is strong desire, and it is, then you may have a lust for too much food, like we just said, or too much money, or just to have a lot of money or little money or whatever, or you have a lust for recognition, to be recognized and be patted on the back, or you have a lust for power. I mean, there are so many things that people lust for. Isn't that correct, Saint? I mean, do some people lust for money or power? Well, of course they do. Does a dog bark? Yes, they do. See, some people have strong desires for stuff. They want the latest stuff, or they want their survival stuff, or whatever. And there's nothing wrong with having stuff, but when you lust for stuff, then you got a spirit operating there, okay? You got to be careful that you aren't controlled by stuff and letting spirits come in because of strong desires for stuff. See, and you might even put good motivations on it, or try to justify it in your mind why you need this stuff, and try to put what you think is a good motivation. Well, I'm going to have all this stuff so I can help other people with this stuff, but you really are wanting the stuff. And so you got to identify what's going on there, see. And again, there's nothing wrong with having stuff, but you got to just make sure that the stuff is not having you, and you're not being controlled by some lust for stuff, all right? And so a lust of other things is one of the things the Bible calls, you know, these things, and as the Bible describes it, and the things of the world. How many of you are dominated by a desire for more things? You ask yourself that. I mean, we all would like to have nice things. We all don't want junk. But some people are dominated by that. They don't just appreciate it when they get it. They just are dominated, pursuing it and chasing after it. So anyway, ask yourself, do I think a lot about getting things? How much of your time do you spend about getting more things and wanting things? Am I even full of thoughts of things or people or something else that I want? Who's behind your strong desires? Think about that. Who is behind your strong desires? What is behind? You know, what do you think is really behind some of these strong desires that you might have or people might have? Could it be a demon, or should I say a grouping of demons, many demons? Because we know that demons, nobody just has one demon. A lot of people say, well, I got delivered from a demon, I'm free. Yeah, we wish it were that simple. Wouldn't it be great if people only had one demon to get out, and once they had that one demon out, then they would be totally free? Well, that would be great, but that's not the case, because do you commit just one sin? How many commit just one sin? Well, is there just one sin out there? Well, then there's not just one demon out there either, and you don't just have one demon either, all right? And so the eyes of man are never full. Look at Proverbs 27:20. Let me read it. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. So that's that describes this a lot, really, because when it gets more, lust always wants more, and it's never satisfied, never fulfilled, never full. It still wants more. Lust is an empty desire because it can never be filled, and it can never bring fulfillment. See, we're going to just describe things tonight and explain things tonight that maybe you never understood about lust and about desires and how the spirits operate behind the scenes here with these things. And we're going to get into this a lot deeper here, but we're already saying things that maybe some Christians have never heard in their life, never understood. But it's an empty desire. It can never be filled. It's an empty cup that can never be filled up, all right? You put stuff in it, and it just goes right out because there's holes in the cup. And so people want more clothes, or they want more sex, or they want more money, or they want more things because it's never, never full. And once they get some sex, they want more sex. Or they get some clothes, they want more clothes. And then they want money, they get more. They want more money. They want more because it's never full. The eye is never full. And therefore, it's never fulfilled either if it's never full. And men and women bound by pornography are never fulfilled by it. And the eyes are never full. They want more. You get more, and it still leaves you empty, though. That's the thing about it. You keep getting more of it, but you're still empty every time. And the only true fulfillment of sex is within a marriage that is not controlled by demons. Okay? A godly marriage that has had deliverance is a fulfilled marriage, and that brings fulfillment of sexual relations. All right? But that's the way God ordained it to be, and his blessing is on that, so it does bring fulfillment. And this sexual relationship does not leave one empty, because there is a fulfillment that takes place, even though one will have sex again with their partner many times throughout life, especially the longer they're married. That many times they will have sex, and there's nothing wrong with that, and it does bring fulfillment, and it brings bonding, and it brings closeness, and a building of it's supposed to bring a building of a love relationship. So the flesh is very demanding in many areas. It is not spiritual, although it likes to make you think it is. The flesh cannot be spiritual. Like the couple who years ago attended a Bible study that we knew, they were living in sexual sin outside of marriage, praying together, attending Bible study, thinking they were serving God. Well, what foolishness, if you ask me. They were serving the God of their flesh, not Jesus. They were deceived. That's not walking in the Spirit, okay? They were sanctifying the flesh and being deceived by their flesh. Like those who commit adultery. Oh, we're right for each other. We even pray together. This woman is so much more spiritual than my wife is, or this man is so much more spiritual than my husband. And this is nothing but demons of deception. This is epitome of deception. People doing that, living that way, they're living in foolishness and deception. nothing accurate about that. Nothing. And these people live a deception. They think it's God that they have found this sexual partner that they live with outside of marriage. Man. See, we need to remember the flesh will deceive you. The flesh will deceive you, saints. You got to remember that the flesh will deceive you. But you're both married to Christians. You're both serving the flesh and deceived by it and the demons it contains. See? And yet you're saying, oh, but we're having sex with each other. This is certainly my soulmate. This is the one I've been looking for. Yeah, but wait a minute. You're both married. Come on. This is your flesh manifesting with demons in it. See, the facts are, though, you can feed your flesh till Jesus comes, and it will never be satisfied. Never. Never be satisfied. Satisfaction and peace only come on a spiritual level. They only come on a spiritual level. All right? You need to understand that. This is so critical. People try to satisfy the flesh, and the flesh is insatiable. It cannot be satisfied. It cannot be fulfilled. And you'll just be running around in circles all your life trying to do something that can't be done. Ecclesiastes 1:8. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. See, there it is again. The eye is not satisfied. When you live in the flesh, the eye is not satisfied with hearing. I mean, the ear is not satisfied with hearing, and the eye is not satisfied with seeing. There it is again. We see it again. Two witnesses there. It's just, the flesh cannot be fulfilled. All right? And the world is running to and fro trying to fulfill that which cannot be fulfilled and wasting a lot of time and money trying to do it. A spiritual being, a spiritually ordained being, trying to fulfill his need outside of the spirit. No wonder the human race is such a mess. In the flesh, they're trying to fulfill themselves, and it won't happen. It's all been done before, it says here in Ecclesiastes. It says, the thing which hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Did you see that? It says, is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new. It has been already of old time, which was before us. And there's often no, it says there is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. So people have to learn the hard way all over again, right? That's basically what it's saying, because you don't learn from your parents' mistakes in a lot of cases because, well, I have never lived before, and I'll do a better job than they did, and you think you know something, and you go and live it out, and then you make the same mistake because the same demons are in you that caused them to make the mistakes that they made. And so you might not make them exactly the same way, but nevertheless the same spirits called you to make and learn the hard way the same mistake. Unless you start getting delivered and start wising up and living after the spirit and recognizing that there is wisdom in the spirit realm. But most people don't do that, right? Anyway, a spiritual being trying to fulfill his need outside of the spirit. And it isn't going to happen. It's all been done before, but you forgot that. We forget that. And so basically this is talking about, like it said in verse 8, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. And people don't get it that they've all tried to do this before. They've tried to fill the eye, and they've tried to fill the ear, and it hasn't worked. All right? You forget that part. But what is living in the flesh? Well, I'll tell you a simple way to define it. It's just simply living outside the realm of spiritual life, a cheap counterfeit, a counterfeit for the spirit. Basically, what living in the flesh is a counterfeit for the spirit, and it can counterfeit itself, showing itself that it is spirit when it's not, too. It'll fool people. Colossians 2:18 and 19. Colossians 2:18 and 19. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and a worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. See, they're trying to live out spiritual things out of the flesh, out of the fleshly mind, and it's just leading them into beguilement, into fleshliness, into deception, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increases with the increase of God. See, when you don't hold the head, that means you don't walk in the spirit, because Jesus is the head and he's spirit. God is spirit, right? The Bible says God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And so this happens so often. The flesh counterfeits the spirit. Oh, hey, I know how we can be spiritual. I know how you can be spiritual. Oh, yeah? Tell me about it, bro. Yeah, this is what you do. Pray under that special tree right over there in the park. See that tree right there, that big one? And then if you stand on your head 5 minutes, you'll be blessed. That's what happened to me. Wow, man, does that really work? Yeah, it worked for me, man. Yeah, and before long, everyone's doing it, and we have the Church of the Standing on Your Head under the big tree in the park. And that's what people think, you know, and that's counterfeit spirituality, and it doesn't work, right? All right. Or we have a false humility or a big-time do-gooder. Look, if you just do good, yes, do more good deeds, et cetera, et cetera. We could go on, all to minister, though, to the flesh and to the pride of man. Oh, I'm the humblest of them all. I am so humble. I am the most humble. That's nothing but pride. Oh, I do such good work. They want recognition, and it's pride. And the list goes on, vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind, it says here in Colossians, not by their spiritual mind. It doesn't say nothing about a spiritual mind here. It says their fleshly mind, vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind, okay? And so that is deception. That is deception, and that is when the flesh rules, people will go into deception. They will, because the flesh is not spiritual. And it will have a form, and it'll put on a show, but ultimately it leads people into a deception. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, there it is again, that it's not spiritual. The flesh is not spiritual. Okay? They are at enmity one with another. All right? I mean, churches have been built in the flesh. Believers leave churches in the flesh. You know, and so it's time to live only by the Holy Spirit and His direction in our lives. We have too many believers being led by the flesh and not the Spirit. In order to possess this land, we're going to have to learn to be led by the Holy Spirit to possess the land that God called us to possess, which our land and the land around us. Yeah, the flesh profiteth what? The Bible says it profiteth nothing. It has no spiritual value, although it wants you to think that it does. See? See, we must remember that the flesh will deceive you. It's wily. It's wily. It's inhabited by beings who have been deceiving people for thousands of years now. They have more experience than we do. However, they lack one important thing. What do they lack? They lack spirituality. They lack God. Oh, yeah, they have a dark, they're dark spirits, but they lack the light. They lack the real spiritual. They have no Holy Spirit, so they, too, are deceived. And so there is no wisdom of God in these evil beings, these evil entities, only the wisdom of darkness and of this world. And this, however, appeals, though, to the flesh, because the flesh knows, too, that it is of this world, because it knows, the Bible says, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. The flesh has only a short period to live, right? It's not inheriting the kingdom of God, so it ain't going to heaven. It's not going into eternity. It's not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So it says, I got a little time, so I want to manifest. The flesh wants to have its way. It wants to pick up its demons, and it wants to do its thing, and the flesh lacks wisdom. It does. It lacks wisdom. Now, I want to use for example, let's go over to Proverbs 7. It's a good example of the flesh and how it operates through the spirit of lust and in relation to sexual lust. So let's just take a look over here at Proverbs 7 and look at this chapter. Basically, it's about lust and about how lust operates through male and female. Proverbs 7:5, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, the immoral woman is basically what that's saying, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. And really, when we say the strange woman, we could just be from lust, basically, to keep you from lust. Well, what will keep me from it? Well, the word of God, all right? The word of God and wisdom, both. And these are intertwined together with, of course, wisdom and the Word are intertwined together and revealed by the Holy Spirit. But anyway, the strange woman or the immoral woman, or we could simply say what God is saying, to keep you from with sexual lust, all right? Sexual lust. And that's what this is talking about. And God reveals in this chapter that without the wisdom of God, sexual lust will lead people around. It also shows us how lust operates in verse 7 and 8. Let's read that. And beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth a young man, void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. He went the way to her house. He went the way where? Toward her house, toward lust. He went toward that female or that relationship that was illicit, that was impure, that was unholy. It led people around. If a person, so often a man, but not always, if one is under the control of lust, they will wander where the danger is. And the Bible says to flee fornication. But that's not what will happen when you're being led around by lust. He or she goes into the wrong places. All right? They go into the wrong places. They're going in the place near her house. They're playing with lust. They're entertaining lust. Do you see that? They're entertaining lust. And so they're going where it is, where they can be controlled by, where they can be under the influence of it. You don't have no business going there. The Bible says flee loose youthful lust. Flee them. You reject those youthful lusts. And by the way, I've seen a number of women so under the control of lust over the years, and some before I was a Christian, I saw them just riffing like snakes to have sex and to get on, get a man and to have sex with them. There were spirits in them. They were just moving. And I saw one that was just her whole body was just moving around like a serpent as she was just. And she was just all manner of manifestations on her face of this sexual spirit that controlled her. And she just wanted sex right then. It just had to have it. It was just, she was out of control. All right? And I, unfortunately, before I was a Christian, I've seen women like that and had to get delivered from women like that after I became a Christian, get delivered from spirits picked up in relationship with some women that not necessarily were riffing like snakes, but were addicted to sex with men. And that was so many years ago. But nevertheless, I still had to get deliverance after I became a Christian. Because I picked up spirits from those relationships outside of marriage before I was a believer. And so, yes, I've seen them. And he goes to her place. He goes to a website. He goes near her. He goes to her place and is trapped. Lust will lead you there into a compromising situation and trap you there. And now how many men and women are trapped in the love in the lust trap today? That's right. A whole lot of them today. A whole lot of them. And let's look at verse 10 here. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. Okay, I want to say some things about this. And it's a rebuke to many Christian women out there today. Take it or leave it. But if you wear shirts that show off your cleavage or pants that insinuate your buttocks and your female body, you're helping snare men. Listen, many Christians wear the attire of the world, attire even of a harlot. You see them in churches every week. I've visited churches and watched people on the worship team dance around up there with the low-cut blouses and tight-fitting pants, even shorts. And don't think that men aren't tempted and spend more time looking at them than worshiping the Lord, because you give them a hard time focusing on the Lord. How are they going to focus on the Lord when you're up there dancing around, prattling around like that? Okay? Because they're excited by what they see. You understand that? Going to a situation like that, and he gets excited by what he sees. All right? Especially these women on the worship team that are swinging their rear ends around and showing their cleavages off. This is not right. The Bible called us to holiness. This is time of worship, not a burlesque show. We're called to holiness, not worldliness. And men should not dress like Don Juan either. I've seen these Christian men who want to show off their chest hairs. They got the three top buttons open for all the women to look at and through and all over. Look at that man. He's got a hairy chest. Boy, he's so handsome. And look at his rear end. Man, this man is, oh, my. You know, I see Christian men like that. They've got a seductive spirit. So it's not just the women, okay? I'm thinking on both sexes because they're both guilty of it. I'm talking to Christians. This is not right. Let the man be won by the conversation of the wife, not by the clothing and the trying to be the hottest dressed woman on the block. That's not right. That's not what the Scripture teaches. All right? It's worldly. It's carnal. It's fleshly. It's devilish. It's not godly. All right? And so take it or leave it, saints, but this is something that is a problem in the church today. And you know it if you've been around. You know it. You know how Christian men and women dress. You know how they're laden with spirits of sexual sin and lust. Let's go on. I don't want to belabor this, but she caught him and kissed him with an impudent face. That's a hard and rebellious face. Oh, yeah, there's rebellion. And yet, I've been to church. She says it in the next verse. I've been to church. I made my vows. I paid my vows. We can go have sex now, but I've done my religious thing. I've done my Christian thing. Now let's go have sex, and we'll just repent for it later, you know. Come on now. Verse 15, therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. Oh, yeah. This is a seductive woman controlled by a demon, a group of demons. I should say group, definitely. I have sought thee. Well, who's really seeking you? Who's really seeking you when you look at that porno stuff? The demons that lead you there. They're seeking you to be in bondage, to be in control by them. I have sought thee. They are seeking you right now. The sex industry today is seeking you. Lust is seeking you today. Demons seek you to bring you into sexual bondage today. All right? There is the lust trap. And if you could see the ugly sexual spirits and lustful spirits, you would be appalled at their ugliness. There is nothing beautiful about these demons that trap people in sexual bondages today, saints. Let's go on and read another verse here. Verse 18. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. Well, that's nothing but a deception. Our fill of love. Lust is not love. She should have said our fill of lust, because it's not love. She deceived with her language. The demons deceive you with their language. Lust is not love, even though people will say, let's go make love. Well, what they're really doing is making lust, because they sure aren't making love. They barely know each other in a lot of cases. Come on now. They're controlled by lust or desire, which is what lust often is just uncontrollable desire equals lust. Driven by desire equals driven by lust. People who are driven by a desire to get that new shotgun or that new dress or that new doll that they see, they're driven by lust if they're driven by that desire. So it's not love, but lust that is empowered and driven by demons, folks. People can get addicted, too. This is revelation to some people, and they need to know it. Because you get addicted to the feelings that demons give you as you fulfill your lust, and as they fulfill their nature through your physical body, they will give you something, a thrill, and a high, a sense that, of course, will always let you down. But you get addicted to that point that you reach when you fulfill that lust, see, because you feel the best the demon's got to give you. The nature of that demon is what you feel. See, the true nature of a demon is what you're feeling, what that spirit is, what that sin is, that demon, you're feeling that. And for some, it is the high that they get when they sin sexually or they masturbate or whatever it is that they're doing that is sin in the lust arena. The feeling, which is the essence or the nature of the demon identifier, which is what people get hooked on as well. See, demons want to be addicting. That may be revelation for some of you. They want to be addicting. Demons want to be addicting. Did you hear that? Demons want to be addicting. You didn't know that, did you? But they do. They want you to be addicted to what they are. They want you to be addicted to a demon of perversion, sexual perversion. They want to addict you to it, where you feel the little thrill that they give you, which is their nature in full manifestation when it is doing what it is to the full extent of what it can do. You get that feeling, that essence of the nature of the spirit. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm trying to make it simple. All right? And people get hooked on that. Okay? And as you get addicted, what happens? A stronghold is built within you. So they masquerade their natures as fulfilling, yet they're always leaving a person empty or in confusion with a false fulfillment, see? It's a false fulfillment, saints. And it doesn't fulfill you, and you end up empty, and then you go back and do it again. That old song, go back, do it again, right? That's an old ungodly song. And people keep going back, and doing it again for that demonic thing that they get. Oh, my. Lord, have mercy. See, look at couples having sex and living together. You ever looked at them? You know, I have married some over the years because I wanted them to get married. And they came and asked me to marry them, and I preached the gospel to them. But they've been living together already, so nothing, no big deal about the wedding and the marriage. But anyway, I've married some over the years so they could get out of that fornicating relationship. And you look at them and you talk to them, and there's a false fulfillment on them. There's a glaze over their countenance and their eyes. And that is demonic, the demonic influence, the demon's influence and control over them. They think that they are happy. And they may indeed be in love, but they're also in lust and deception, because it's a demon-induced illusion that they're under. Okay? Because couples living together outside of marriage are entertaining the demonic illusion of fulfillment and love when it is lust and selfishness in reality. Oh, but I love her or I love him. Well, marry him then. Oh, no, we're progressive. No, you're deceived by devils is what you are. Don't give me that progressive garbage like, oh, we're a progressive church. We allow homosexuality in our church, or we allow people to live together outside of marriage. Oh, you're a deceived church is what you are. You're a hell-bound church is what you are. And so people who live under that glaze and that deception, and, well, we love each other. There's nothing wrong, is there? Because how could there be? We love each other. No, you lust in each other. And you may have some love, and you may get married, and it might work, but it might not, too, because of the building of this thing on a lustful relationship, because you're having fornication outside of marriage. All right? All right. Let's look at verse 23 here. Let's move on. I'll read one more here. Till a dart strike through his liver. What is that? That's nothing but death. As a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. So what happens here? It's going to cost you your spiritual life to live this way. And your strength, as long as you're in bondage to these spirits, it costs you your spiritual life, your spiritual strength. As long as you stay in bondage to these spirits, they'll rob you of spirituality. And they'll bring in spiritual death to your Christian life. And yeah, you may still be a Christian, but you know what? You've got spiritual death working. You know, you got death working in you, and you need to get delivered from that. You need to repent and get right with Jesus and quit doing that, all right? And realize that as long as you're living that way, you wonder why you're not hearing from God? Well, because you're living that way. You're living in under the control of the flesh and of lust. And so that's not conducive to hearing from God, folks, except the word repent and be washed in the blood and quit it. Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servant ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. What you yielding to? Whatever you yield to is going to cost you, saints. You yield to lust, then you become the servant of lust. If it's a lust for tobacco, you're yielding and a servant to that tobacco. If you're lusting for food, you're yielding to and lusting and controlled by that food. You're a servant to that food. All right? Which in reality is you basically becoming a servant of demons. And much of the human race today is in servitude to demons. If you're listening for the first time and you say, how can I have a demon as a Christian? Well, again, I say, listen, body, soul, and spirit, you're three parts. The spirit is where Jesus lives. The soul and the body is where the flesh is, all right? And demons are attached. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But in my spirit, of course, Jesus lived there, and no demon can get in your spirit if you're a born-again Christian and have Jesus in your spirit. But the other part of you, that is not the case. You got to understand that God works in threes. The Old Testament temple had three parts. There's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the three-day fast, which is a powerful fast. God works in threes so many times. You got to understand that, all right? And so we have three parts to us, just like that Old Testament temple had three parts, the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place, which was where the presence of God abided. And so no demon can be in our most holy place because Jesus lived there. You understand that? Okay, I just need to throw that basic bit of information in there for those Christians out there who said, I don't have no demon. I can't have a demon. Oh, yeah, you can. And, yeah, you do. People have demons today in this world because everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So wherever sin is, you're going to find demons because they feed on it. They feed on that flesh that is continually sinning. All right, so we read Romans 6:16. Whatever you yield yourself to is going to cost you. You yield yourself to lust. You're going to be the servant of lust. And so this is the real reality of life on earth, that the human race is in servitude to demons. And demons are empowering them to do the natures of the sin of the demons. All right, let's go read another scripture. Boy, you paint an awful picture of life on earth. Well, hey, this earth is not my home. Remember, I'm passing through this earth. And the whole world lies in wickedness, the Bible says in John, 1 John, the last of chapter 5, it tells you that. So God painted that picture. I'm not doing it. I mean, I'm just telling you what the Word of God teaches. All right? The whole world does lie in wickedness. It's under the influence and control of the wicked one. All right? And they rule the present age. But the good news is we can have victory even in the present age, but I'll get to that in just a minute. Habakkuk 2:5. Yea, also, Habakkuk 2:5, yea, also, because he transgresses by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home. In other words, he doesn't stay with his wife, doesn't do the things morally right, and who enlarges his desire as hell. In other words, his lust is out of control and is as death. And so he's got death operating in his life because his lust is out of control and he cannot be satisfied. Well, yeah, lust is never satisfied. The eyes of men or women can never be satisfied. They always want more, but gathers unto him all nations and heapeth unto him all people. And so here's the condition of so many people today. He doesn't stay at home. The lust is elsewhere, and the desires are enlarged. The lust is insatiable, and it brings spiritual death, yet is remaining unsatisfied and always has the illusion of fulfillment, but it never satisfied, never fulfilled. And so no matter what on this earth one is driven and controlled by, whatever lust or desire it is, they are in a condition like this, many of them. All right? It depends on how far you've gone. And granted, some people go farther than others, and they get more demons than others, and they're in more bondage than others. Oh, how much time and substance it robs people of, too. Time that they could be seeking Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Time that they could be praying in tongues. And leading people out of bondage. Hallelujah. Binding devils and bringing them out of the bondage. But they're wasting time. Chasing, being led around by lust. It breeds and brings spiritual uselessness in people's lives. Yeah, spiritual uselessness is what I said. A lot of people live in there. Let's look at Paul, the Apostle Paul, a minute. Paul was accused of living in the flesh. And many times those who only walk in the flesh, when you begin to live a spiritual life, they will be out to get you, definitely persecute you. They will accuse you of living in the flesh or all kinds of junk. Just like the old proverbial truth about the crabs in the bucket, when one tries to get out of the bucket, the other crab pull him back down. Well, people are often the same as the crabs in a bucket. And we can learn many, many spiritual truths from the animal kingdom today. As we look at the animal kingdom, there's truths there to be learned. There are truths there to be found. Okay? Now, I want to read another scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's go over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, And I realize that this is a holiday weekend or worldly holiday weekend, and a lot of people will have to download this later, but important that you do get this, whether you get it now, whether you get it later, it will help people. All right, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. In other words, yeah, we are living in this fleshly body, this physical body, but that's not my life. My life is a war, and it's not a war after the flesh. It's a war after the spirit, okay? For the weapons of our warfare are not, carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And, of course, this is a little preview of what the head is. This is the way you win victory over lust. I mean, first of all, you cast down those vain imaginations, see, which exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Well, how do you have the knowledge of God? You've been in the Word of God. See, the Word is the key to your victory, but we'll get more into that in a minute. But you understand that if something is exalting itself against the knowledge of God, if you don't know the Word, you don't know that it's something that is exalting itself against the knowledge of God. You got to know the Word of God to know that it's exalting itself against the knowledge of God. And so many Christians, that they don't pick up their Bibles enough, and so they don't know what the Word says. You can't depend on me to fill you with the Word of God. I'll give you what I have from the Lord. But listen, what about the rest of the days of the week? Are you in the Word? You need to be. Do you know what the nature of people is who walk in the flesh? Well, it tells us in verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. That's what people do when they're in the flesh. They commend themselves. They measure themselves. They compare themselves by one another. And comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. See, this is what people do when they walk in the flesh. You ever done this? Of course. Well, I'm better than so-and-so. Look what they did. You know, I could do a better job than so-and-so did. Comparing one another, nothing but pride. But the flesh is full of pride, right? Well, I'm more spiritual. I raised my hand 30 times in worship to God, and they only raised their hand 29. Well, that's nothing but religious spiritual pride. That's the flesh manifesting, and you think it's spiritual. You think you're spiritual because you raised your hand 30 times. They raised their hand 29. So here, one time more spiritual than they are. Oh, boy, you really got the record, don't you? Come on now. This is nothing but pride. This is nothing but a manifestation of the flesh. 2 Corinthians 10:13. Let's read the next verse. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. So we're not going into our flesh. We're not going to boast of things out of the flesh, but we're going to do things out of the Spirit, the rule which God has distributed to us. See? The spiritual things which will reach unto you. See? Okay? I mean, do you see that? All right, so when we walk in the flesh, we glory in the flesh. Therefore, we rob God's glory. And God said, you give me all the glory. You don't take the glory. All glory is God's. And all that we have is from God. So where do we have the glory? Who saved us? Did you save yourself? No, you have no glory in yourself then. God saved you. And what do you have that you didn't receive? That's right. God gave it to you. So we don't have anywhere to glory, like it says here in verse 17, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. The Lord's got to commend us, not we don't commend ourselves. Okay, that means the blood of Jesus commends us, and his work of grace in us is what commends us, not we don't commend ourselves. We don't go in with our righteousness. That's filthy rags. We don't go in and say, look what I've done, God. Look at me, and take glory for ourselves. We don't have anything to come in before God with except what Jesus does for us, in us, the grace. the work of grace in us, right? Because he's commended us through his grace. And so we can come boldly before the throne of grace in time of need to receive mercy and grace. Hallelujah, because of grace. Yeah, the throne of grace, not the throne of works. It's called the throne of grace. So anyway, let's go on. The curse of the flesh. Let's look at this now. And walking in the Spirit-led life. Let's go over to Jeremiah 17:5. Jeremiah 17:5, we'll look at the curse of the flesh, and then we'll look at walking in the Spirit, and then we'll close out this message here. All right, Jeremiah 17:5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, or trusteth in the flesh, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. So what happens when you trust in the flesh? It's going to cause you to depart from the Lord. That's the curse of the flesh. You live in the flesh, it will cause you to grow cold in the Lord. You're living a fleshly Christian life, it will cause you to be a cold Christian. It will cause you to be lukewarm. It will cause you to not walk spiritually, saints. Do you see that? Do you see that? It's clear. See, the person who makes flesh his strength and way of life is under the curse of the flesh. And what is that curse? Well, its curse is death. All right? That curse is death. Because it says in verse 6, he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places and in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. That's a man that's living in a miserable situation. The flesh cannot fulfill. It cannot bring fulfillment to your life. It will not bring you spiritual satisfaction. It can't do it, saints. It can't do it. Because the Bible says flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. So what is the curse of the flesh? It's death. It's walking in spiritual lifelessness. All right? And so if you're trusting in flesh, you need to repent. If you're living in the flesh, you need to ask God to forgive you, purge you, cleanse you today. Listen to what God has for those who walk in the spirit realm. Excuse me. Jeremiah 17:7-8. Jeremiah 17:7-8. Let's read it. It said, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. See? He that walketh in with the Lord is spiritual, right? And blessed is he that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Well, what is fruit? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance. All of those things are the fruit of the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit, you bear the fruit of the Spirit, right? And see, that's what this is describing. A person who's controlled by the Spirit will bear the fruit of the Spirit. A person who walks in the Spirit will bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is all the things that are spiritual, which is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance. These are spiritual things that God empowers his people with and gives his people, and they bear that fruit as they walk in the Spirit. See? And so that's what this is describing here as well. And so, hallelujah. See, we need to remember that the flesh will deceive you. It's very deceptive, all right? And so we don't want to live that way. And the Spirit is led. The Spirit is led and empowered. The Spirit is led and empowered. The Spirit-led and empowered man or woman is not moved when bad things happen around them. They just keep trusting God and leaning not on their own understanding and walking in the Spirit. They're not going to have panic attacks because the Spirit doesn't have panic attacks. Does God have panic attacks? Does God live in anxiety? Does God live in fearfulness? See, if you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill those lusts to be fearful. The flesh lusts to be in fear. The lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts to worry at night and to be in anxiety. See, there's a spirit of anxiety that you will feel the full manifestation of that spirit if you give it place. All right? And you can get addicted to anxiety. There are people that are addicted to anxiety that are on meds today because of their anxieties and their panic attacks because they got hooked on what the Spirit did in them. It's an ungodly, foul addiction, but nevertheless, people get addicted on these things. People get addicted to doing things because of the Spirit that begin to take a hold in their lives. And then they get addicted to that lust to be worrier, lust to be an anxious person, that lust to be a fearful person. See? Anyway, That person will not be a boaster. He will glorify God. He doesn't have to prove how spiritual he is. He doesn't have to do that because he's not being ruled by the flesh. The flesh has to prove, oh, look at me. I'm spiritual. Look at me and what I could do. Look how spiritual I am. Look how supposedly godly I am. You know, it's 35 Psalms, verse 27 and 28. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. See, that's what a spiritual person will do. He'll speak of righteousness of God all the day long. That's spiritual life going forth out of your mouth all the day long. Your life will speak righteousness. Your life will speak it out, not just your mouth. But your life will speak that righteousness out, because when you live in the Spirit, you manifest the things of the Spirit, right? And that's joy, unspeakable, full of glory, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. Today is a day of victory. Why? Because Jesus is Lord, and we are in Christ Jesus, and if he has the victory, then we have it. And yeah, some of you don't know it yet, but that doesn't change the fact that it's not available to you. I mean, it is available to you, and it is there right now. If you would choose to walk over into the Spirit and possess it and live that way. Hey, it's time to mature, body of Christ. It's time to mature, time to grow up. You know, we could get all caught up in just looking at how bad everything is, and it is bad, and we need to know what's going on. But we need to be looking up right now because our redemption is drawing nigh. We're living in the last day. We're living in a time that is getting to the place where Jesus is coming, right? And so what do we do in that time? Do we just freak out in fear, get addicted to fear? No, we don't freak out at all. Freaking out is not spiritual, that's fleshly, and we don't live in the flesh, right? So we start meditating on the Lord day and night. We start focusing on him and listening to the voice of the Spirit and doing what the Spirit tells us to do, all right? Hey, it's time to mature, to grow up. Grow up. God will lead you. Listen to him. Shut down the voice of the flesh and start training yourself to hear the voice of the Spirit. Just like you tune a radio. You fine-tune that knob until the station comes in the loudest, and if you're listening to FM, it comes in stereo. Yeah. If you don't have it just right, it won't play in stereo. So you want to keep adjusting that knob until you get it fine-tuned and you get that perfect sound as good as you can get it coming out of there. Right? And so you get it the way you want it and how you want to hear it. Well, listen, we want to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. So our equipment must be tuned to hear. All right? We want to hear God. We need to tune this body, this soul, and this spirit to where we can be spiritually attuned. Amen? So let's repent for living under the rule of the flesh. First of all, you need to do that. Amen? Repent for living under the rule of the flesh. Say, my flesh will not rule me anymore. I will be spiritually ruled. I will live in the Spirit. I will be ruled by the Spirit. I will never again be fleshly ruled. I will not let my flesh ascend to the throne and rule me. Break the curse of the flesh over yourself next, according to the finished work of the cross. And stop living as a flesh-ruled creature. And learn to live as a spiritually ruled and submitted and committed being. Is which what you are. And let the Spirit, not the flesh, do the walking. Remember the Scriptures and do it. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. You put up a word guard over your life. And I know I take spiritual discipline, saints. And you need to put up a word guard over your life. That's right, a word guard. That's what I'm calling it. I don't know if anybody ever called it that, but I'm calling it a word guard. Put up a word guard. How'd I put up a word guard? But you hide the word in you that you might not sin against him, see? A word will keep you from going to the porno site, right? The word will cause you to be able to cast down those vain imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, because you've embedded the knowledge of Christ within you. No wonder people fall into it. They don't know that. They don't have that in-depth knowledge of Christ. They haven't spent the time in the Scripture to get enough to put up a word guard. Remember the Scripture also that says, thy word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. What do you do without a light and a lamp? Without a lot of word, then you're going to walk in a measure of darkness, and if one does, he or she will stumble. Do you ever try to walk around in a strange place in total darkness? You run. What do? You run into things, right? You try to walk in a room you've never been in total darkness. Have you ever been in total darkness? There's no light shining over under the door or through the window. Just total darkness. Well, what are you going to do? You don't have a light under your feet, a lamp under your path, or a light under your path, a lamp under your feet. I forget. But anyway, regardless, you don't have that light, then you're going to stumble. And God people are running into things today because they won't put the word into themselves. They're running into Satan trap. They're running into the flesh trap, the demon trap. They won't heed the wisdom of God, so they fall into the traps of demons. You need to embed that wisdom of God into your life so you don't fall into the traps of the demons, saints. Listen to me. The word of God is our primary tool and weapon to overcome lust. If you're having trouble with lust, you need to embed the Word of God in you. Yeah, you need to get delivered, too. Don't misunderstand me. But the Word of God is your primary tool and weapon to overcome that. After you get the Spirit out, the hard part is keeping the Spirit out and walking it out. We can cast the demons out. But then if you don't embed the Word and fill the house, then they're going to get, seven other demons, and you'll be seven times worse than you were because you didn't fill the house. The Bible says they go back and find their house all swept, empty, and clean, and garnished. In other words, there's nothing in there. You haven't put the Word. You don't have the wisdom of God in there. Well, no wonder the lust spirits come back, and you're worse off than you were. Fill yourself with the Word and the wisdom of God. The Word is spiritual, folks. And because God is a spirit, right? So the Word of God is spiritual, and it's that which trains us spiritually and makes us into a spiritually living being. And only that which is spirit is strong enough to overcome that which is fleshly, earthly, sensual, and devilish, as it says in James chapter 3, verse 15. It's earthly, sensual, and devilish, that stuff of the earth, that stuff of the flesh, that stuff of the satanic realm. And only that which is spiritual can overcome that which is earthly, sensual, and devilish, right? And the Word is spiritual. Therefore, Jesus used the Word against Satan when Satan came and tempted him in the wilderness, right? And he used the Word, it is written, it is written, it is written, devil, I'm attacking you with my spiritual power and life, and that which is above, that which is carnal, fleshly, sensual, devilish, right? And it has the ascendancy over that. It has the authority over that. And it rebuked Satan, and he backed off, and he left Jesus for a season, the Bible says. And he'll do the same for you. But you've got to fill yourself with the Word of God. See? It says this wisdom is not the wisdom from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish, fleshly. Earthly means fleshly. Earthly wisdom may sound good, but it appeals to the flesh. And all it does is puff up the flesh. It doesn't do anything for your spiritual strength. And the flesh is a deceiver, folks. Sensual, that which appeals to the five senses of mankind, but not our spiritual senses. The carnal senses are not spiritual, and they're not full of life, but they connect us to what is going on in the world, right? Okay, and they're not full of spiritual life. They're full of carnal life, right? And you need the five senses, but you notice that the five senses cannot connect you necessarily to God. Now, you might manifest some of God in the five senses. You might express some of God through the five senses, you understand? You can do that. You could be having a real inspiration in your heart and be spiritually empowered, and you might dance before the Lord like David did, and it'll manifest through the five senses. Spiritual life will, and it can. But the carnal senses are not spiritual, and they will connect you to what's going on in the world. And I know we need them to live here in this earth suit, but we need them to live here in the earth. But we can't live spiritually by them. Devilish is what we deal with all the time from this earth realm, as Satan is the god of this world system, right, that we all live in, but we're not supposed to be of this world. We live in the world, but we're not of the world, right? In, but not of, right? It is a devilish system, right? An ungodly world controlled by that which is devilish, demonic, and evil, and dark entities are swirling around in the atmosphere, as well as, thank you, God, for the angels of light that also are around us to protect us day and night, that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But that which is devilish, right? 1,000 may fall at my, and 10,000 at my right side, but no harm shall come nigh my dwelling, because we have the mighty angels of God that can protect us as well. All right? But we live in an ungodly world controlled by that which is devilish. And we need to recognize what's going on so that we can stand when all around us seem to be falling. And there'll come a time like that when many will fall around you. And, in fact, it may already be in a time like that. The Bible says that. There's a great falling away. People are going to be falling out all over you. People are going to be dying all around you. People are going to be dying physically. But God can protect those who believe him. That's right. He says, come ye out from among them, and touch not the unclean thing. Be ye separate, saith the Lord God. You know, you could be that person. You could be the person that does not touch the unclean thing. You could live above that. You could live beyond that. You could live at a higher place. God called you, said, come up higher. Come up higher. Higher is spiritual life. Who wants to live in that low life, fleshly life? Who wants to be controlled by that? The walk of the Spirit is a higher life. You come up higher. Come up higher, saints. Start living higher. Start living that spiritual life. Don't be controlled by that which is fleshly, sensual, devilish, earthly. Okay? And be separate. Yes, you and I can live spiritually. We can come up higher. We can, and the spiritual word will take us there, right? Well, that's what's going to take us higher, the word of God, and believe in it, faith. Faith is a spiritual empowerment of God to believe for spiritual things that can also become physical things as well, but they start in the spirit realm. And faith reaches in there because it is a spiritual power. Faith reaches into the spiritual realm and takes a hold of things that are there, that have all the promises of God that are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. You reach in there with the spiritual hand of faith, which is a spiritual power and empowerment that Jesus said. Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. He's the one that gave you that spiritual empowerment. You reach into that spiritual place. You take a hold of it, and you take it, and you reach it and pull it out of that spiritual land, and you can bring it into manifestation into the natural realm, into your body, if your body's sick, and faith will come and receive that healing virtue out of the spiritual realm and put it in your body, and your body will manifest health. You see what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Eat the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh out of the mouth of God, right? That proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So you need to be eating spiritual food twice as much as you're eating the natural food, right? How much time do you spend stuffing your face? Think about it. How much time do you spend down there at the Whataburger or whatever you go to and eat? How much time do you spend at the kitchen table? How many hours a day do you spend at? Well, do you spend equal time eating the word of God? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. See, that we need our spiritual food more than we need our physical food sometimes. In fact, all the time we do. We need our spiritual food more than we need physical food. Because it won't hurt it, most of us, to fast for a week. And if we ate our spiritual food for a week, what would that do to you? My. We'd be some spiritual giants walking around in the heavy anointing of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But hey, if you just feed on the spiritual food as much as you feed on the natural food, what kind of a spiritual giant would you be? Think about that. How many people don't feed on the spiritual food as much as they feed on the natural food? Well, about 99% of Christians probably. Or 95% anyway. They feed more on the fleshly food than they do the spiritual food. I mean, for hours at a time, they'll sit and eat and talk about this and talk about that or watch television or whatever while they're eating and just focus on their natural, carnal, fleshly food. Oh, my. We could go on and on. We're going to stop. Praise the Lord. We got to stop somewhere, and this is a good place to stop. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you that it is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing and dividing of asunder of the soul and the spirit, joints and the marrow and intents of the heart. I'm not quoting that exactly right, but Lord, you know what I'm saying there. That scripture I'm quoting, trying to quote, Lord, the word is powerful. And Lord, we thank you that the word has done its job today. And Lord, that it's done a mighty job in our lives, and it will continue to do so to as long as it is being heard, Father. And so we thank you for that today. We thank you, Lord, that we are not going to be ruled by the flesh, but by the Spirit. We are going to take charge over our flesh and put it in its place and start casting the demons out of it and begin to rout out the devils in the land until they're all gone. Thank you, Jesus. And, Lord, we're going to live spiritually and be spiritually minded and not carnally minded, because the Word will make us spiritually minded because we have the mind of Christ. And as we put in the word, our mind is supercharged because we already have the mind of Christ, but it's only activated by the Word of God and faith and the Spirit of God. And so as we put the Word in us, it's activated. Hallelujah. And we are activated and we are empowered and we move forth as mighty soldiers and men and women of God in the army of God. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your word today. We love you, Lord. We honor you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints of God. I went long today, but that was a word that we needed to hear, and praise God for it. We're going to take a little break, and then I'll come back, and if we have any phone calls, I'd be happy to take your phone calls in and pray with you and cast any demons out that happen to be bothering you that you want delivered for. And then we'll do some mass deliverance as well today. Praise the Lord. I hope that you had your spiritual eyes open and your spiritual life empowered today. Praise God. And we want to clean out the flesh. Get rid of the junk. Amen? Get rid of the stuff that just leads us astray and gives us these feelings that people get addicted to. We're going to do some of that in a minute. But first, let's go ahead and take a little break, and then we will come back and get into it. Amen? Get into some deliverance. Praise God.
I'll not be afraid. I will have faith. Jesus is with me. I'm never alone. 24 hours a day. No matter what comes, I will not run. I will take courage and conquer every worry in my life that I face. My enemy lies, telling me I'm not gonna make it. He wants me to think that I'm weak and I'm gonna is my shield, and I know he'll never forsake me. For faithful is the Lord of my salvation who calls. Nothing can separate me from the love I find in Christ. I am secure in Jesus, standing firmly in his strength, and it is mine. God who always leads me into his triumph, and I'm more than a conqueror. In the Lord I'm a conqueror. I'm wearing a smile, I am God's child, born of the Spirit, hidden in Christ, living in heaven above. No demon of hell, Satan himself, cannot get near me. I'm resting in the grace of God that keeps me in his love. Nothing can separate me from the love I find in Christ. I am secure in Jesus, firmly in his strength and in his might. Thanks be to God who always leads me into his triumph, and I'm more than a conqueror. In the Lord I'm a more than a conqueror.
Amen. Well, welcome back. This is Pastor Kyle, live program tonight. Even though it is a holiday, what they call holiday, the world calls it, the holiday weekend, the Labor Day weekend. And I see some people are missing today, but I'm glad those that are with me are here today and listening. Praise God for each one of you. You're a blessing to me, and I thank God for you. Praise the Lord for you. All right, so if anyone would like to call in, now's your opportunity to do so, 657-383-0134. Otherwise, we're going to do some ministry today, and that's okay with me. If no one wants to call, that is fine with me, and I'm happy to do ministry for you. And some people say they like it better when all we do is ministry, and that's fine, but I want to give people opportunity to talk as well. So testimony or desire for prayer or prayer request, anything like that, you're welcome to call in. Otherwise, I'm going in to do some ministry. Praise the Lord. We get rid of some of these spirits that are troubling to our people, as well as what we talked about today. Again, if you'd like to support the ministry, you can do so through the website, theoasisplace.org, or you can mail your gifts of love and support to Pastor John Kyle of the Oasis Church at P.O. Box 50161. That's Box 50161 in Billings, Montana, 59105. That's 59105 is the zip code. And I've been pastoring now for 31 years of pastoral ministry, 30 years of deliverance ministry, and been doing it a long time. And so we're still doing it, still moving on right along with it. Got plenty of people wanting deliverance, no shortage of that. And praise God, people are getting deliverance. And all over the summer, we've had wonderful testimony. People have come here, traveled here, flown here, driven here, and gotten deliverance. And praise God for all the wonderful things the Lord has done for people this season that we've been in. And praise God for those who have even received deliverance by listening to the broadcast. And praise God for you and your deliverance. And so you can get more now if you're ready. This is an opportunity to have some deliverance. So let's go ahead and do some of that today, and see what the Lord will do for you as we go ahead and minister some time of deliverance. Praise God. Here we go. Now, let's go ahead and explain for anyone who's new to it. When spirits come out, they come out through your mouth, coughing, sighing, burping, yawning, spitting. You may feel like you're going to throw up. You may feel like you're getting sick at your stomach. And that is a manifestation of a demon as they begin to manifest and get ready to come out and come out. That is normal. Don't be alarmed. Just let it go, and it will go. Also, you may have sensations in different parts of your body, tingling in different parts of your body. You might feel pain in different parts of your body. You might hear voices speaking to you in your head. These are demons talking. They do anything they can to try to deter coming out. They don't want to come out. They want to continue to minister to you their nature, what they are, who they are, and what they do. They want to continue to do that. But you don't have to keep it. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go ahead and get some out tonight, get in agreement, and out of agreement with the demon, but in agreement with getting deliverance. And so out of agreement, hate the devil, and he will go as we cast him out. All right, so I also recommend you not praying a whole lot with your mouth while we're casting them out. Just resist them on the inside, especially if you're in my presence and we're doing it. It's better not to talk. Just let me cast it out, and you just be out of agreement with it, resisting it on the inside, telling it has to go, and because you don't want to get in the way of the demon as he's coming out of you. All right, so here we go. Let's start out with a few prayers, and then we will start casting them out. Just say, in the name of Jesus, I command every wicked spirit in me to come out of me now. I break your power over me and I command you to leave me now in Jesus' name. I cover myself and my family with the blood of Jesus. I tell you, you cannot go into any of my family members when you come out of me. I break every curse over myself, both inherited and otherwise, and command you to, spirits that enforce the curse, I command you to leave me now in Jesus' name. Is there someone you need to forgive today? Go ahead and forgive them right now. All right, just forgive them right now. Anybody you need to forgive, husband, wife, loved one, relative, unloved one, yeah, forgive them all. Let them go all the way out. You have to go now. Unforgiveness, come out. All unforgiveness. We're talking to you now. We command unforgiving spirits to come out. In Jesus' name, you loose the people, let them go. All the way out, all the way out. Bitterness in there, come out. Come out, come out, come out. Bitterness, critical spirit, criticism, come out. Judgmental, judging others, come out, come out, come out, come out. And we break any curses of judgment over you that's coming on your life right now. We break those over you, command you to come out. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. We break those soul ties with controlling people in Jesus' name over you right now and command those spirits that came in from controlling people to go all the way out. We come against all these sexual spirits that we mentioned tonight, the lust of the flesh, the lust of this and the lust of that, the lust for food, the lust, sexual lust, fantasy lust, all lust, come out. Come out, 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 by the blood of Jesus right now, by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. All these sexual spirits, go, 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 fornication, adultery, go, 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 incubus, succubus, night spirits, masturbation, pornography, go, go, go. All these sexual spirits that are so prevalent in our society, come out, 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 come out. Come out, come out of there, all the way out, by the blood of Jesus, loose people, let them go, come out, 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 all the way out, all the way out. Be weakened by the blood, angels go in there, drive these spirits up out of people now in the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, loose them, let them go, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Keep coming out by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. All those sexual fears, all those non-sexual fears, those other lusts, come out. Lust for things, lust for material things, materialism spirits, idolatry of things, come out, 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 come out of there. All that idolatry, loving things, putting things before God, come out. Even though you would never say that you're putting them before God, your flesh puts them before God, you come out of there, all idolatry, go, 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 come out, lust, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out, go, in Jesus' name, go, loose people, let them go, all the way out, all the way up out of there, go, by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus right now, loose people, let them go, come all the way out. All the way out. Go in the name of Jesus. Keep coming out. All those sexual spirits, those unclean sexual spirits, come out. Keep coming out. Uncleanness, masturbation, come out, 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 come out. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Go by the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus right now. By the blood of Jesus. You have to go. Cast you out in Jesus' name. Loose people, let them go. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. Darkness, death, in Jesus' name, go. Spirits of death, spirits of those carnal, spirits of the flesh, come out right now. Go, 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 go. All the way out. Go, go, come out. Death, come out. Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Keep coming out. Keep coming out. Keep coming out of there all the way out. All the way up out of there. Go in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, loose people, let them go all the way out. Spirits have to go in Jesus' name. All those lusts for money, greed, mammon, lust for more money, come out, controlled by money, controlled by greed, controlled by power, wanting, lusting for power, lusting for recognition and attention, come out. All that attention-getting spirit, come out. All that lust for power, lust to want more power, want more from people, all the way out. Jesus' name, go, by the blood of Jesus, keep coming out, Jesus' name, go, come out, all the way up out of there, Jesus' name, we're going to continue deliverance. I'm going to take a phone call, we'll get right back into deliverance here. In just a moment. Hello, caller 530, you're on the air.
Yes, my name's Diane.
Yes.
Can you hear me? Yes, I called a couple weeks back.
Where are you calling from?
California, east of Sacramento.
Okay. Yeah, I think I've talked to you before. Yes, what's going on with you today? How are you doing?
Good. I'm speaking in tongues. I'm working every day, having my prayer language. There's still things going on, and so I don't understand. So I just
so you've been praying in tongues. I remember we prayed for you. So
yeah,
have you been using that? Praise God. Wonderful. I prayed with somebody yesterday on the phone, and they received their prayer language and the baptism of the Holy Spirit too. And we're just praying away in tongues. Praise God. I'm glad to hear that. Go ahead. Continue. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Well, no, it's okay. Maybe I do lust after the flesh, not in a sexual way, but just material stuff. And they've been stealing stuff from me, and I don't know how to balance my life knowing when I'm gone that they're taking stuff. It's distressing to me.
So your neighbors are doing that?
Somebody, yeah.
Somebody is stealing stuff from you, your garage or your house or what?
Yeah, they've marked us with, you know, enough things like we hate you. I don't understand it all. They've left X's like the Confederate flag. They've left swastikas. And we're not Jewish. We don't practice Judaism. We're not by blood or marriage Jewish.
Right.
I think we're something, you know. So.
Well, maybe they know you're Christians. They're Satanists, and they know you're Christians, and they're just out to harass you.
Yeah, I think so. So, I just maybe you could pray for me so that I could have my mind and my heart open more to the direction the Lord wants me to go, so that we can overcome this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I will do that. Anything else?
No.
Okay. All right. So, first of all, we'll pray for our sister that whatever this is going on, we just bind it and command it to stop in the name of Jesus. People who are coming to her place and putting swastikas on it and stealing stuff, we just come against those people right now and what they're doing, because we know they're empowered by demons, and we command it to stop in the name of Jesus. Right now, we just speak to this whole situation and these people that are coming and attacking our sister. We command this to stop in Jesus' name right now. And, Lord, we just send it back on them, these Satanists, these people that are doing this to her. We just send it back on them right now in the name of Jesus and break the power of what they're doing against our sister and command it to stop now. And send confusion into the enemy's rank right now. The Bible says, confuse and divide their tongues, O Lord. So we use that scripture against the enemy and what they're doing, because we know that behind it is demons. Even though they're using people to do it, it's a form of persecution and harassment. And we just send confusion in the enemy's camp right now on behalf of our sister right now. And, Lord, we just pray that this will just stop in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for a miracle. We thank you, Lord, that the enemy shall not prevail against Sister Diane, and no weapon formed against her shall prosper, and she shall prevail against this in Jesus' name. And we command any spirits of lust for things, as she requested, Any lust for things, spirit, you come out of there right now. Loose her, let her go. Come out. Come out right now. Go, 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 go. Lust for things. Wanting more things. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there. All the way out. All that lust for things. Lusting for things. Go, 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 go. By the blood of Jesus right now. Loose her, loose her, loose her. Let her go. All the way out. All the way out. Out, 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 out. All the way out. All the way out, up and out, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. All that lust for things, all that idolatry of things, come out. Any idolatry, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out. Just wanting things and greed or any of that, you have to go, go, go. Come out, come out, come out. We renounce you. We break your grip and break your hold. Come out, 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 out of her, all the way out. All the way out by the blood of Jesus right now, by the blood of Jesus, all the way out. All those lust spirits have to go. All those idolatry spirits have to go. All greed, come out too, all the way out. All the way out. Go, 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 go. Any spirits that are harassing her mentally too, you come out of there. All mental harassment, come out. That's being sent on her by her neighbors or Satanist neighbors or witchy neighbors, or come out of there. Go all the way out. All those mind spirits sent against her mind to trouble her mind, to harass her mind, come out of there. We cancel your assignment. Come out. 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 Come out of her mind. All the way out. All the way up out of her mind. Loose her mind. Let it go by the blood of Jesus. We cover her mind with the blood and break those satanic curses off her mind. Everything they've been sending and conjuring up against her, we send it back where it came from. Come out of her and go back where you came from. In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. By the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus over her mind right now. The blood of Jesus over Sister Diane's mind. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus. People are saying, Sister, in the chat room that you should get a surveillance camera and you should call the police. Have you done those things?
Yes, they break cameras, they have a tool, they've taken chips. They're pretty sophisticated.
Mm-hmm. So you've done those things?
Yes. Everything in the armor of the flesh we've tried besides a gun.
Well, we're believing that as we prayed today.
The Lord wants us to do that.
What's that? Go ahead.
We don't. We didn't believe the Lord.
You feel that the Lord wants you to what?
The Lord wanted us to use a gun. But we did everything else, cameras, talked to the police multiple times, different departments of the police, phone company. It's like we've exhausted everything. We decided the Lord wants to have the victory. You know, and so we have to, apparently, we need to get our lives more in alignment with him as part of it. Spiritual warfare, learning to grow up in authority and walking in the Spirit, using the authority in Christ Jesus. That's what we feel the Lord's leading us to do.
Okay. All right, well, we believe, too, praying tonight has made a difference, too, that this has just got to stop in the name of Jesus. We have indeed done warfare, and we'll continue to stand against this wickedness against you, because this is definitely a spiritual attack as far as the dark spirits. So,
yes, thank you.
Amen. We will prevail. You will prevail against it because you have the power of heaven behind you. If you use it, you have it. So. I'll just give you an example. They were playing a rock band, a house right next to the church, and they were playing during our services. So I just said, I finally said, I had enough because it's interfering with our services. It's loud, rocky, hard rock, acid rock type music. And so I started doing warfare against it. And you know what? Not too long after, they moved out of the house they were in and quit, and they're gone. No more. So, you know, God does answer spiritual warfare, because I did warfare against it. I said, I had enough, and I started really doing hard spiritual warfare against it because it was loud, and it was distracting to the people in the church, you know, and stuff like that. And God removed them. He could do the same for you. There's no partiality with God.
Yeah, I believe he will resolve this. And I waited more on him to realize that I needed to participate in the spiritual warfare to gain authority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't just sit back and ask him to do it. No, you have to do it. You have a participation process.
Yes.
Use your authority.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Now people are saying, go to the media with a video of it. Well, yeah, that's up to you. You do what you want. But we believe that the victory is the Lord's, and he will prevail. He loves you, Diane, and he will prevail.
Yeah. You know, just after I called you and you prayed for me baptism, and I started speaking in tongues that evening, the Lord said, you are my first love and my true love. And then I started to think about the book of Revelation. It says, return back to your first love. And it's like, well, if every born-again believer is his true love and first love, he would want that reciprocated.
Mm-hmm.
And so I shared it with a few people in town. And, you know, our town is kind of dead. It's very religious. It's, you know, you talk about, you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. No, why? Well, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And Satan just has a lot of dominion in this town.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true of so many of the towns in our country. That is so true. He has a lot of dominion in this town, but, you know, we keep slapping him and backing him off and doing spiritual warfare. We have the authority to do it, and we can take ground from him.
Yes.
Praise God for you and what the Lord is doing in your life, sister.
Thank you.
Well, I will let you go then. I'm glad you called in, Sister Diana, and praise God for that good report of you praying in tongues now. And the more you do it, the more he'll give you, the more languages he'll give you, and the more your prayer language will increase. So thank you for calling in, sister, and feel free to call back anytime.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye now. That was Sister Diane from California. And now we'll go back and do a little bit more mass delivered. We're running out of time, obviously, though. We've got about 5 minutes left, so we'll do a little bit more mass deliverance, and then we'll close it out. All right, so here we go. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Start coming out of there right now. Come on, all those spirits of worry, addiction to worry, anxiety, panic attacks, come out. Come on, all addiction to worry, panic attacks, come out of there. All addiction to anxiety, an anxiety lifestyle, come out right now. Go, 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 go. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out, all the way out by the blood of Jesus right now. Go, go, go. Addictions, go. All addictions, come out, come out, come out. Addiction to food, addiction to lust. Addiction to porno, addiction to all manner of things. Come on, addiction to anxiety. Come out, come out, come out. Addiction to pills. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Pharmaceuticals. Come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out. Mind meds. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All addictions. Go, go, go. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Right now. Go, 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 go. All the way. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. All the way out, all the way out, all the way up out of there. Go by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. You have to come out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Go, 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 go. All addictions, move, 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 move. Overeating addiction, come out, 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 come out. Overeating addiction, go. Come out of there. Come on. All that addiction to greed, get rich schemes, trying to find a way to get money fast, and all the way out. All these investment different things. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. Go, 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 go. Go, go, go. Now, if God leads you to make an investment in something, that's fine. But some people are driven by a spirit to get rich quick and pursue that. We break that curse in Jesus' name. Go all the way out. All the way out by the blood of Jesus. The love of money spirit, you come out right now. Lust for money, love of money, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out. Go, go, go. Love of money, lust for money, come out in the name of Jesus. Right now, go by the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus. Lust for money, love of money, root of all evil, the love of money, the Bible says. So come out not having money and not money itself, but the love of money is. Love is a demon. Right? Come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Go, pride. Come out right now, pride. We rebuke the spirits of pride and comparing yourself one with another. Come out. All that comparison, go, 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 go. By the blood of Jesus, go all the way out. All that comparing yourself with another, come out. Spirits of pride, come out. Religious spirits, come out, 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 come out. All the way out, all the way out. All the way out. Spirits of competition, religious competition, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Condemnation, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Confusion, go in Jesus' name. Confusion, well, I just don't know what I ought to do. Well, hello, do you have the Spirit of the Lord in you? The Spirit of the Lord will lead you. He said that he will lead. The steps of a righteous man or woman are led by the Lord, right? So he's going to order your steps. So, hey, just believe that. Exercise a little faith there and believe that God is leading you right now. And I know that if you need God to give you a job, then you step out in faith and you go apply somewhere and ask the Lord to lead you where to go apply, right? And so, yeah, you just go out and start knocking on doors and God will give you favor with somebody. But if you never go knock on doors, you just sit at home and say, God, give me a job, give me a job, give me a job. It isn't going to come. Normally, it doesn't happen that way. It happens when you step out in faith, because faith without works is dead, the Bible said. That means faith without action is dead, is basically what that means. In other words, if you say you have faith, then you act on your faith like it's true, like something's going to happen, and then it happens. Same thing with deliverance. Amen? You believe, and then you receive. And you act like it's going to happen. You act like deliverance is taking place, and it's going to take place. All right, keep coming out, all the way out. Amen. All the way out. Go, go, go. Move, 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 move. All the way out. Spirits of alcohol, alcoholism, go. We break the generational curses of alcohol. Go, 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 go. By the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out, all the way out. Father, we ask you to seal this deliverance to every saint that's listening. We thank you for leading them by your Spirit, those who need direction, that you will give it to them as they seek. You said, when you seek me with all your heart, then I will be found of you. So, Lord, those that need direction, Father, give it to them. And, Father, those that need deliverance, continue to have the spirits continue to come out throughout the rest of the evening that we've cast out. And, Lord, we thank you for their deliverance. In Jesus' name. And we give you all the glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thanks for listening today. Praise God for each one of you, all precious to me. And I appreciate you all listening to Strong Word tonight, because we certainly gave you a strong word, but strong word heals strong problems. So praise God for that, and thank you, and the Lord bless you. And hopefully we'll see you next week. And remember the website. Bye-bye now.
You are glory. You are glory. You are glory. You are glory. You are glory.
but you are glorious, but you are glorious, but you are glorious, but you are glorious, you are glorious.
that you are glorious, that you are glorious.